B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum, unless you're driving, and takes as bad as being a guest on a Rams podcast.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep, on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is Lil Dice, and joining us again for the first time in forever is Dave. How you doing, brother?
Man, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Dave? So, you know how we do on the Beer Run. We got 4 downs. We actually have Saints news to talk about. What? This is amazing.
Surprise, Carfax.
So, of course, we're going to talk about some beer. We're going to talk about Saints, especially what's happening at camp. We have some dark horse and underdog updates to give you, and we'll take a deep dive into the wide receiver. And we'll talk about that whole thing. So I'm excited about this. Referees, get out there, spot the ball. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right, Craig, what you drinking, bro?
Okay, so I'm off my game right now. Normally I have one open and I'm drinking when we start this, and it's my second one that I open on the air, and y'all hear the pop for. I haven't opened one yet. I'm a little behind today, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and then we're going to taste test it together like the family that we are. This is the Tiny Bomb American Pilsner from Wiseacre. That is a Memphis, Tennessee brewing company. The can's real fun, lots of yellows. It's a Pilsner, kind of that German style, so I'm not sure it's going to be my type, but we're going to give it a shot, and let's see how it sounds. I mean, it sounds like a good beer. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, I like it, bro. I like it.
Yeah, that's delightful. That's delightful. Okay. If you like those German Pilsners, that real malty kind of a flavor at the back end, yeah, that's real good. That's real smooth. Real creamy. Delicioso. Dave, what you drinking?
All right. Well, Dave, I know he's driving, so.
One time pass. Don't let it happen again.
We don't allow drinking and driving on the Beer Run.
You know, if you were in Louisiana, we have drive-through daiquiris down here, and we could have made this work.
Yeah. I'm a responsible podcaster, so.
We don't do that here.
All right. So now with mine. And so I'm undecided right now. Because you've been coming at me with this beer bet. Okay?
And the one you lost. The one that I thought I lost, but then you actually lost that one.
Well, listen, you were eager to pay off this beer bet. Okay?
Some of us are a man of their word when they acknowledge their failings. Not all of us have that problem.
Well, listen, I tried to just hold on, hit the brakes a little bit, and just to see what was going to happen and actually wait for the practice. But, you know, you went ahead and did the beer, you know, because that's the kind of guy you are.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
But look, man, I got problems here because the bet was supposed to be Mike Thomas was practice. Mike Thomas was there at practice, but he didn't practice with the full team.
So he practiced. He just didn't do one small section of practice. Okay. All right. So he practiced. Cool. You lose.
No. You need to practice.
No, it's obvious.
Practice with the team.
He practiced except for one small section of. Have you been to a football practice? Like 90% of football practice is not team. The team section is a very small portion at the end. So he practiced and didn't do one second. That's like saying, oh, he didn't practice because he took a couple of seconds when he had a calf cramp and, you know, about 10 minutes in. Oh, he didn't practice because he had to go get some water halfway through. That's dumb. He did the whole practice except for one section. That's practicing.
Okay. So I guess we need to send this over to the arbitrator.
This is nonsense that we need an arbitrator. This is as clear cut and dry as Deshaun Watson getting 30 accusations.
So, Dave, since you're on, I mean, would you mind hearing this case?
After hearing both sides of the argument and spending some time deliberating on the virtues of both of the arguments, I'm going to have to go with he was at practice, man. Yeah, I mean, he was at practice. Yeah. He participated in practice. I think Dale needs to drink. I think Dale needs to drink.
I am the law!
Mr. I am the law.
Justice is served. You know. Throw that gavel down.
It's terrible.
Oh.
Terrible. All right. Look, I'm a man. All right. And I will pay out my beer bet.
Tradition on the show, I was right and you were wrong. Please drink up.
No. See, we're not doing that because I was right.
You weren't right. You just left. We had an arbitrator tell you were wrong. You brought a third party who agreed with me. This is two out of you have lost, sir.
We're going to appeal this thing to Roger Goodell. That's what we're going to do.
Just be a man and drink your beer.
All right,
the arbiter has spoken.
It was a weak pop and everything.
Be a man,
too.
Drink your beer.
Yeah.
It was a weak pop and everything, too. Okay? All right. I'm a man, I drink out of Saints glass.
Now you're drinking nothing but foam right there. Look at that. Breathe that beer.
They taught you how to pour.
Good Lord.
Yeah. This is a man's pour. You just pour it in there.
A man's pour. Apparently men like foam.
That's right.
Hey, okay. Nothing wrong with little head.
That's what she said.
Michael. Right. Well, here we go.
Chug. Man, that was like half a beer in foam and you still ain't done.
Hey, well, I mean, that wasn't Craig chugging a beer or anything, but that was impressive. I mean, I get to you.
You poured half of it in there and let foam fill the other half. Ain't no one impressed.
Yeah, you could drink the second half of that beer later.
When we get to second down, I want
to
see
the can back in the refrigerator.
Hey, listen, somebody got to edit this podcast, all right?
Second down.
All right, let's get to Saints news. And the Saints signed Chris Herndon. He's a tight end, former Jet, former Viking. He had like a really good rookie season back in 2018.
The fact that you said former about six times right there makes me feel like he's not going to be a big deal.
Okay, are you excited about Chris Herndon?
No, what? I just said that. Not even kind of. Man, okay. Taysom Hill is the next coming of Tony Gonzalez, so we're just going to have that.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, realistically, he's a camp guy. You know, there's a little bit of upside, so, you know, I see why we did it. But I can't imagine that he's going to contribute anything this year or beyond. He's just another guy in a group of guys that we already have that already know the system. He's going to chew up. Oh, see, there's the rest of that beer. See, he's going to chew up some reps, but I wouldn't expect to see him contribute.
Okay. I will say the same thing for sure. Kwon Baker suspended 6 games for PED violation.
Which is funny because the 30 cases of PED violations, he wasn't convicted of in court, but I guess the civil cases for those 30 PEDs must have got out to him.
I see what you did there. I see what you did. 6 games for PEDs, huh?
You'd think he'd be better if he was juicing, you know? He'd be a little higher in the depth chart. Like, if you told me Michael Thomas was juicing coming back from injury, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I can see that. He's jacked. Kwon Baker ain't doing
it. Oh, no.
What are you juicing for to come out looking like Kwon Baker?
Yep. All right, then we have Smoke Monday, who suffered what's believed to be a significant knee injury.
Yeah, that's kind of sucks.
That's heartbreaking for a rookie, especially, but Smoke Monday was like a fan favorite because of his name.
Yes, he was. Yes.
Well, not just the name. He had been playing well. He was a good player. He hits hard, you know, all the things that people look for in a safety. And he was having fun. People seeing him, you know, clips of him dancing at practice. It's one of those guys you want to root for. And it's really unfortunate if this ends up being significant that chance is taken from him.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Okay. Now, one of the bigger stories at camp is Tyrann Mathieu missing.
Who?
And they said it's personal reasons and it's excused. So are we concerned about this? Do you think he's going to come back one day this week? What are we thinking?
So I don't think he's coming back this week. I think it's going to linger probably into preseason. if at all. The rumors are now that he's talking about retirement. I don't know that I'm jumping to that ledge, you know, but I'm not panicked yet. I don't, you know, he looks like he was so happy to be here. He looked so excited that right. I'm not going to jump right to retirement. But that's the rumors. I mean, I don't know any more than these other, you know, nobody's making
up on Twitter. So.
Well, did you guys read the part about him being extorted by some distant family member? So there's a story. There's actually a story out there, some legitimate stories about legal issues. The point is, you know, I'm not saying that's it. It's just that, you know, nobody knows. And right. someone made a good point. I read it yesterday on the internet that with Dennis Allen talking more openly about injuries, you know, it reduces the amount of like the Taysom Hill thing. If Taysom goes down, we all assuming that it's something to do with his Liz Frank injury. But no, you know, it's a rib injury. He's open about it. Then we move on. We're talking about something else. But the fact that nobody's explaining what's going on with Matthews, now we're over here like, well, I heard about extortion. Well, I heard he's retiring. Well, I heard. So everybody's wondering what's going on. And I just think it's one of those things where it's just a matter of he could pop up and practice on Friday, and we wouldn't even think about this in 2 weeks. But right now, it's the longer he holds out, the more curiosity is built, and we don't know what's going on, so the more speculation and the more uncertainty. So I don't know. I'm not worried yet, but I am at the point where curiosity is starting to get, you know, starting to build. And I don't know, man.
Yeah!
Well, I think pretty soon we're going to send the investigative team out there,
right.
and we're going to figure out what's going on. Don't you worry, people. We got you back.
Dig up some skeletons.
All right, so Dave already mentioned Taysom with the rib injury. He's out. The next thing is Kamara's court date got pushed back.
Again.
Yeah, so
I mean, I'm thinking is he going to see anything from this whole season? Like,
yeah, this is going to be next year's problem. Can not happen, like, until he retires, and it'll be good, you know?
don't it's like one of those... This is one of those monkey paw wish things. If you wish that it waits until his retirement, he's gonna retire like next year. So like let's not float that out there right now. Just you know, honestly, after seeing what happened with the Watson thing, I was hoping this would just go away. You know, if you get 6 games for that pile of nonsense that we're not gonna touch on, then you probably shouldn't do 6 for an alleged maybe hit a guy, who knows, kind of. Yeah, it's overkill, in my opinion. But, you know, it's going to linger. It's going to be a question mark. Knowing Goodell, we're going to make the playoffs, and he's going to drop the hammer then.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Goodell can come up with any kind of punishment he wants to whenever he wants to. So that's what he does.
Made a pain in the ass.
All right, so now we're really getting to the Craig section of the news.
There's a Craig
because,
section of the news?
Yes. Jarry Evans is serving as a coaching intern.
Ooh, yeah, he is. Yeah, and his presence is already felt. All the highlights we've been talking about for training camp so far, they put the pads on, and the O-line has been nasty. We're talking about Penning is putting people on the ground, and people are throwing punches at him. Defensive tackles are raving about Ruiz and how quickly and agile he's been picking up blocks. The offensive line is the unsung best part of this training camp. They've been playing really well, and they're a big question mark. For me, with all the weapons that we have and what I expect Jameis to do, the O-line's the biggest question mark on the offense for me, maybe on the team. We'll talk about safety a little bit later, but maybe on the team, the biggest question mark for me is the offensive line, and they're looking good. And I think Jarry Evans was such a monster. He was a bulldozer of a man, not only in physically, but the mentality of I'm finishing this block, I'm finishing this guy. He's on the ground, and that's the only time I'm letting up. It's when this guy has been beaten. And putting that mindset on these young guys, especially a guy like Penning, who has the physical ability to be an absolute monster, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful damn thing. I'm loving it. I'm all for it, man. I'm giddy. I'm giddy right now.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I dozed off a second there. I heard offensive line. Well, and the bad thing about it, I was driving. Hey, so the only interesting thing in there that they were talking about is Penning. And I feel like the media slash fans are just looking for Penning to just, oh, he's causing trouble. And so every highlight that I've seen, a mountain of a man. And so who was it? Who's 48? Hardy? So 40, Hardy's over there.
It's Greg.
The safety. Great, yeah. So he's over there, and Penning blocks him and then keeps blocking him. And then he kind of pushes. And I saw the video, and the first reply was like, you just said it. Gray wanted some of that. And I'm like, Gray kind of got irritated and pushed him. And then once he saw that Penning got mad, you could see he was backing up, looking around like, am I going to jump in front of this thing? And he didn't want nothing to do with Penning. And I mean, he is just a mountain of a man. I am so excited about him. I'm sorry. I dozed off talking about offensive line there, so I apologize.
It's addictive.
The other thing, since we're talking offensive line, is I thought it was funny. Street, the defensive tackle, said that pointed out that Ruiz was tough, and he didn't say, I don't know. The headline said that that, you know, oh, he singles out Ruiz as being the toughest blocker or something like that. I mean, his actual words were a little less flattering, but the fact of the matter is, you know, maybe. I have a hard time believing just because an all pro shows up at camp, everybody turns around and becomes better ball players. But I do think Ruiz in his third year, I'm expecting him to, you know, turn the corner. He was a very good college ball player. He's had his ups and downs. I'm expecting him to turn the corner and at least be a solid player this year. So I agree with Craig. Offensive line is interesting right now. If it develops based on its potential, we should be rock solid there.
Yeah, what Street actually said was that he was able to change his shoulder positioning, changing his angles when he's trying to get upfield. And those changes in angles and those ways of getting the guy off of his spot and moving with your feet and your hands simultaneously, it's one of those things where it sounds obvious, but that your instinct is to plant your feet in the ground and push off with the guy. And if you can get your feet going where you need to seal a guy to while engaging with the hands, it's really hard to get that fluid. And when you can do that, it can be a really complete block right there. You're blocking the guy from not only where he wants to go, but you're moving him out of the hole and into the backside of the play where he's not a threat anymore. It's a skill that not a lot of linemen have. And if Ruiz can use that athleticism that he's already had and be able to move those blocks off the line like that, That's a big deal.
Well, if you really love that breakdown there, you're going to love the Big Ugly Podcast, which, you know, airs on this same podcast station here. Just tune in to Big Ugly Podcast with Craig and with Nate, right? Nate the Great.
Yeah. Me and Big Nate, we break it down. We talk nothing but offensive line, a little bit of defensive line sprinkled in for people who like stats. But I'll tell you what, man, our pilot episode got less listens to than the wrestling show. So I might just cancel and move to Canada.
That's funny. All right. Now, Paulson Adebo making an early push for Camp Beast. Like, they keep trying to replace him, and he keeps fending everybody off.
Yeah, Roby became a luxury all of a sudden. We thought he was going to have to start.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Really. So they brought in Lante Taylor. He's still looking good.
Yeah, he is.
But Adebo's holding down his side, and I believe he's going to keep that starting position. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, I mean, not just holding it down. I mean, every report is that he has been so far. Again, let's take this all with a grain of salt. We're reporting on and talking about what we know so far, and so far – he's the best player in camp right now, and that's saying a lot. Now, the fact that the Saints went out and drafted a corner in the second round, to me, said that they had some concerns. To me, you don't go drafting a corner in the second round. There was something that they weren't completely sold on. They have CJGJ in the slot. You have a veteran, and I had to believe that they didn't see everything that the fans. That's obviously wrong. Adebo is playing the best ball. He is built off of a fantastic rookie year, and now it's just a matter of you have just an embarrassment of riches at cornerback.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. Now, also in camp, our first round pick, Chris Olave, I mean, he's been making some plays. I've seen some videos where, you know, Winston is moving out of pocket. I mean, that's another thing, too. Winston moving out the pocket, looking pretty good. Right. I saw a video of him with the rollout, him throwing a ball to Chris Olave, pretty good, moved the chains. I also saw the deep pass where Winston hit Olave, pretty good. I mean, look, you fall in love with Winston's deep ball, man. It's amazing. But I love that Chris Olave he's showing up on these clips that we're watching on the internet every day, right?
As long as Adebo's nowhere near him.
Yeah, you don't want to get matched up against Adebo, man. I'm telling you.
No, apparently not. Yeah, give me Marshawn Lattimore, apparently. Just don't let him give me Adebo.
So, yeah, but Dave, how are you feeling about Chris Olave so far?
Well, okay, so, I mean, I was probably as excited as anyone, not just about Olave, but the entire receiving core. What was once the fourth best receiving core in the NFC South, according to very knowledgeable, right, Craig? Bill? Okay,
knowledgeable is a very generous term.
Okay, very nice. So, but I will say I had a moment yesterday. I had a moment of humility where Olave just – they showed – him going up against two of the Saints. Oh, I already talked about how talented the corners are, and just, you know, kind of got shut down. And then all of a sudden Landry went against the exact same defenders and got huge separation. So it just points out not at all that Olave's not capable or he's, you know, anything like that. It just shows that rookies, there's a reason rookies generally don't just walk into the NFL and dominate. There's still some learning to do, still lots of time. He's made some good plays, so it's not like – it just shows that he's not superhuman. He's not going to walk into the NFL and just take it over. But he showed a lot of potential. And I think that he still has some room for growth. And look, the one thing that we always talk about every year is that these practices, there's nothing that's, they're not out there trying to put those players in the best position to be successful. They're just running plays. And so you don't always get a guy doing things that he should. You know, you're probably not going to see a lot of Olave running routes over the middle, a lot of slants, a lot of ends. That part of the tree probably he'll be left out of that part of the tree more often than not. And so they're not really working on their strengths. They're just working in general. So, you know, once they do a little game planning, I think we'll see Olave blossom a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Well, that about does it for the camp news. Unless I missed it, there's something that you guys want to talk about.
I just want to talk about being excited, man. This is I think we talked about this in the last couple of shows. It's the most excited we've been in a few seasons now. And I think that's surprising. Without having Drew Brees or without having Sean Payton, and we're going to a season with neither of them and a kind of question marks in a lot of spots. And it's just exciting. I'm just pumped, man. I'm ready for some football.
I'll tell you, to me, what's so far, in my opinion, the biggest news, and bear with me if I may not remember everyone, but the biggest news is I always go into is saying, you know, Craig's like this optimist. And it's like, Craig, listen, man, you have a quarterback and he's coming off a major knee injury and he's got to work through some stuff. And, you know, you got Michael Thomas. He's probably not going to be. Well, then you also got Taysom Hill. He's going to have the. And then you go just about everybody, the safety that we got from the Jets, whose name is Mays. Yeah, May. He had an injury. I didn't expect him to be out there for the beginning camp. I absolutely didn't expect Taysom Hill. Everything that I read said Hill would be back. Hopefully, if we get him back in October, that would be huge. And the guy is fine the opening day of training camp. So my point is the big news so far, and I agree with Craig, the excitement is probably the number one thing. But the number two thing is all these injuries seem to be ahead of schedule. We have guys getting back. I get it that Michael Thomas is not fully participating in everything, but, man, this is great. He was there for the first day camp. He's progressively getting better. He'll be worked into it. He'll be ready to go for week one. I'm excited about all the guys because, I mean, Taysom Hill in particular, He's a playmaker. He's a guy that plays all over the field. We're a little worried about tight end. You know, I'm not that concerned about it. I think Troutman will have a he'll show his true self this year, and I think he'll be a very solid tight end. But to have a Taysom Hill, all of a sudden, that's another playmaker that I wasn't really expecting. So the injury situation to me is the biggest news so far in camp, that all these guys that were injured are back on the field already.
And why is that, Dale? That magic Bama dust right there.
The Bama dust.
Indeed, indeed. I forgot about the magic Bama dust.
I don't know how you can look at you. We see it in action every day.
Indeed, indeed. So we will see how much of the magic Bama dust Taysom gets, and with his rib injury. And hey, hopefully Smoke Monday can get a little sniff, and this knee injury won't be as significant as they think.
When did we start sniffing this dust? I mean, I'm talking like a fairy godmother or something, sprinkling it on you.
At most, yeah. No, it's a topical thing.
Yeah, when the injury is significant, you got to snort it, okay?
I mean, Dale has a guy with one of them elastic bands around his bicep and a needle and everything.
Well, we're just waiting for that Purple Valley strain of the Bama dust.
The Beer Run Podcast is sponsored by Purple Valley Marijuana. We got that good, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a...
All right.
Send us our check now, Purple Valley.
Third down for what?
Let's get over to Dark Horse / Underdog update.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Now, Qual is B-Train's guy. And I saw a few videos. He made some nice catches. He's taking advantage of the time that he's been given when Taysom Hill is being out and Juwan Johnson being out. But now they're bringing in another tight end that's going to eat into his reps. I mean, does this spell doom for Crawl, or is this just another camp body and Crawl's gonna be okay?
Well, I mean, you Crawl would never. Or Taysom Hill's not playing right now, right? So you need another camp. You just need a guy to catch passes in practice. I mean, you know, if he's flashes, cool. But otherwise, you're just treading water. I don't think it really affects Crawl, honestly.
Yeah,
but then again, I don't think Crawl was ever really gonna be an impact anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, at the end of the day, Crawl's a developmental guy. He was never going to make this roster, assuming, you know, injury-wise, he was never going to make this roster on the active roster. He might be a practice squad guy. He's a super athlete. He's going to flash. He's going to make some plays. But there's a reason he went undrafted. He's not the toughest guy. He's not an inline blocker. You already have a guy like that in Johnson, and you might make the argument you have another guy like that in Taysom Hill, who's probably going to be a little tougher, a little bit better blocker, but I don't imagine Taysom Hill is going to be like just an inline beast blocking. So at the end of the day, I don't know where Crawl fits in the tight end room. That's a lot of wishful thinking, which is always the case in the offseason. I look for him to be a practice squad guy and see if he can't develop into somebody that can help the team going down the line. But what I do like about him, and this is something y'all can give me a hard time about if you want, but he's an athlete. And I think that you got to start off with that. And then from being an athlete, hopefully the guy develops into a football player.
Okay. Well, that's B-Train's guy. That's his pick. So I'm not going to throw any salt on that, you know, like, hey.
I mean, he's looked good in practice. I mean, he's made a couple of good catches. He runs really well for a guy his size.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a ton of experience blocking. He hasn't been a tight end for all that long. I mean, you know, he's already had a long road ahead of him, you know, before any of this happened. I don't think a new tight end's really – if he doesn't make the team, it's not because of this new tight end. It's because he has a long way to go.
Yeah, that's a good point, Craig.
Okay, and the next one is going to be Justin Evans, which is my guy. He got beat by Hardy for a 50-yard touchdown a day in practice.
That's what happened to a lot of people this year, though.
Yeah, yesterday, he intercepted Ian Book.
Okay, yeah, that's also going to happen to a lot.
Don't a couple of us have interceptions off Ian Book?
Right off the bat, Craig... Craig will tell you right off the bat that Hardy is just an amazing receiver with all world potential, and that it, you know, like, you getting beat by him is just, that's just another day at the office. Hardy's going to beat them all because he's just an amazing, and I can't overemphasize, amazing receiver. So.
All right.
Don't we have a beer bet on that, Craig?
Probably. I make a lot of bets when I'm drinking too much.
Yeah, you can come up with anything, and Craig will
look, man, I like Hardy, man, and I think he's going to make some plays. I just think he's very one-dimensional. He returns kicks okay, and he can run deep occasionally. But we just drafted Olave, who runs deep better than he does. And, you know, it's limited value to that. That's just, not that I don't like the guy. I want him to succeed. He's a good story, and he's a good player.
Well, all I know
is Callaway better, that's all.
We're hearing Justin Evans' name every day at practice. And so,
yeah, one of them was Justin Evans getting beat, though. So it's
he's on the field. He's getting reps.
So all news is good news. There's no such
thing as bad publicity. He's getting reps. That's all I know.
So would you rather get less reps and look good, or more reps and get burned by an undrafted free agent kick returner?
No, you can, as long as you make some plays sometimes, you can give up some plays sometimes. It's how it works in the NFL.
Sure. I mean, with the retirement of Tyrann Mathieu, you know, even Evans' path to the roster looks a lot better.
Well, we will get the I team on that, and we will figure it out, okay? Tomas got Deshaun Dixon, the wide receiver. I haven't really heard anything about him. Have you guys heard anything about him this year?
You know, I don't listen to wide receivers.
Craig doesn't like wide receivers.
I don't like wide receivers. I like exactly one wide receiver, and he hasn't played in 2 years, so I'm not going to be able to give you a breakdown on Dixon.
Okay, so we'll get another update on him some other time. Brock Morton. Now this is Craig's
man.
Guy.
That's my guy. I'm not hearing a peep about him, which is a really good sign, because that means that the other guys that should be starting are holding it down, and we're not forced to rely on this guy that was kind of a long shot anyway. The better Ruiz plays, the less I'll hear about Throckmorton. So best case scenario for me, my dark horse is wrong. Ruiz develops and our offensive line is solid. So I like Throckmorton. I think he's good depth. But if he doesn't end up contributing, that's good.
Dave, you got any thoughts on Throckmorton?
Throckmorton, don't get me started. I mean, more offensive line talk. Okay, so my phone dies. I go away for 2 minutes, come back, and y'all somehow gravitate back to offensive line talk. No, thank you.
That's what you get for calling
explain
in
how that phone happens.
And being all amateurish on this very professional and well-organized podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, when I left, I was trying
dark to horses. We're on dark horses right now.
I wanted to find out if we had a beer bet on that Hardy thing.
Do we have a doc for that somewhere?
Yeah, our secretary is right on that.
Yeah, so I believe we have a beer bet on Hardy and who else? Callaway.
Oh, no, your bet is that Callaway doesn't make the roster.
Oh, okay.
And I have a bet that Callaway has more receiving yards than Hardy at the end of the season. I got two bets. So the Hardy bet is that Callaway has more receiving yards at the end of the season than Deontay Hardy. Okay. That is versus you and Dale. So you guys both have to chug one if I'm right, and I have to chug two if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. You get it.
I like that.
The other one is just that you bet a beer bet that Callaway doesn't make the team at all, and I think it's pretty clear he does.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Callaway did have a 50-yard touchdown. Oh, never mind. Sorry. I got my guys mixed up.
Oh, see, this is the casual fan seeing all the sizzle and not eating any of the steak.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm being disruptive.
I was too busy seeing all those actual touchdowns in games that Callaway scored last year that Hardy didn't.
Yeah. You want to get into that debate, or should we save that for a different
show? We only have so much time on this show. We're a snappy podcast.
All right, snappy. Let's move on.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Okay, let's move to our wide receiver deep dive. And my first question, before we get into the depth chart, or the list of guys that's on the wide receiver room. What role do you believe Jarvis Landry will play in the offense? Now, when I'm saying role, I would like you to compare him to a former Saint.
Okay, so I'll start off comparing him to Callaway, a former Saint from... I can't even get a reaction. Look at him. I think he's drunk already. He's just looking at me with hateful face.
I think I would react more strongly if I was a little drunker.
All right. Who's he going to remind us of? I mean, golly, he reminds me of Michael Thomas, but he's still on the team, too.
He does, though.
You know, right. I mean, I want to say, okay, so it's not even a comparison. The only guy I can really, I mean, I cannot compare him to Lance Moore because, you know.
That was going to be my comparison.
You know, maybe Snead, because Snead was a little bit bigger. Moore was a little bit more of an agile guy that was a little bit quicker. Snead was more of a tough guy per se. I'm trying to think of something. Nobody, I mean, look, we've never had a guy outside of Michael Thomas who was that type of receiver that you can make an actual comparison to. So I can throw some stuff out there as we played the slot, but I mean, to compare him to even Lance Moore, who was a receiver and, you know, had, you know, a good quality NFL career. I mean, that's kind of silly, almost insulting to Landry. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there has been.
Yeah. So in body type, I kind of want to say like a Robert Meacham type because he's a big bodied guy, but it's not the same skill set at all because Meacham had all these, you know, deep crossing routes and Landry is this kind of, you know, he's that Lance Moore, Willie Snead, Jerome Paython, you know, these short yardage, get first downs kind of guy. With the body type of these outside receivers, he's a very unique player, and I think that's one of the best attributes that he has is that there's not a lot of guys like Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you, Craig. I think he's going to do a lot of those slot routes coming across the middle, and from what I've been reading, Jameis is working a lot on those shorter throws. And
thank God.
He's completing these passes in practice. They said this today was his best practice. I think he went like 4 for 6 in team drills and all that kind of stuff too. So that's where I see Landry at.
That you know what that brings up a great point is why we can't overanalyze these practices because that team section he went 4 for 6. That's one drive in an actual game, and we're trying to make like these big. Like, oh, he's going to be good this season because of these 6 passes. Well, absolutely not. Everything's going to be figured out in practice. These little snippets of team where we're taking, oh, this quarterback went 11 for 12 in these 2 days. Like, it's all nonsense. It's all bunk, man. This the kind of things that we're seeing these highlights from, it's just visual. It's just candy. It's just sprinkles on top of the ice cream. We don't know what's really going on rep to rep, and that's where the real work is getting done.
Right. Okay.
Did Craig just say that the real work's getting done by the offensive line and we can't see it? I feel like that's what he was really trying to say.
Was that what you were saying, Craig?
I think you know it's always what I'm saying.
Yes, indeed.
Stop. Hold on one damn second. If the end of the season comes around and we say, oh, the best unit on the Saints was the offensive line, then I guarantee you we are not only a playoff team, or we were a contender. The best offensive line in the world was the Saints this year. That's the only position group that you can say that, oh, are their receivers or their safeties or their running backs are the best. If you tell me the offensive line of the Saints was better than every other team's offensive line, then I will promise you that we were a good team.
Okay. I like that, Craig. I like it.
Oh, Lord, I dozed off again. where were we? All right. I'm sorry.
You got to pull over for these old line talks. You're going to end up in a ditch.
All right. Now, wide receivers, we have Mike Thomas. We have Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave. Also have Marcus Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Deonte Hardy, Kevin White, Kwon Baker, Esau Winston, Kirk Merritt, Dijon Davis and Rashid Shaheed, who's on the non-football injury list. So I see a lot of speed here, right? With Hardy, Olave, White. Like these guys can get down to Saquon Baker, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot more speed than we had last year at wide receiver. Am I right?
Yeah, we had most of these guys last year. Calm down. the only new one on that list is Olave. Come on, with most of the speed you're talking about, we had last year.
Okay, so why are we a better unit at wide receiver?
Because it's not the speed guys. We're not a better unit because of the speed guys. We're a better unit because of the possession guys. Because we've added a Michael Thomas and a Jarvis Landry in the same damn offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're a better receiver group. Because your speed guys are better, right? You did add at least one good, what we think is going to be a good player in Olave. But the possession receivers, those first down, those chains movers, those are incredibly better. We went from Marquez Callaway, who I like, being the best possession receiver on our team, so now he's third on the list of guys to get you a first down. So when your starters become backups, your team gets better. And we have a whole bunch of starters looking at backup roles right now.
Okay. Well, we as Saints fans usually like to write off Tre'Quan Smith, but I've read a few times that he's made a few plays in practice, and so it looks like he's going to make the team here. Do we think Tre'Quan Smith can turn into a more polished receiver where he's being used more in this offense, Dave?
No, I do not.
Okay.
very well put together.
My beer bet says that he makes the team and Callaway doesn't. And there's a very specific reason why. Smith is a faster guy. He's a bigger, stronger guy. He's a better blocker. And when you're talking about your fourth receiver, your fifth receiver, you're talking about a guy who brings certain elements. Everything that Callaway does, and this is my logic, is done much better by at least two other people on the team. So his value is not now. A guy like Smith gets down the field a little bit better. And, you know, make all the arguments once. They're similar receivers. They're similar in quality. No, neither one of them is significantly better than the other. So if there are things that one does better, like blocking or just being a speed guy, then I think that guy has the advantage. That's why I'm making my bold prediction that Smith makes the roster and Callaway does not, or at least the active roster.
So I don't necessarily think that it's either or. I actually assume that they're both going to make the team. I think the receivers are going to be, you know, Hardy, Callaway, Tre'Quan are going to be the bottom three, with our top three being, you know, the guys we already know, the Landry's, Thomas, and Olave. But I don't disagree that they do kind of different things. Tre'Quan Smith has never had six touchdowns in a season, where Callaway had to do that last year. But I don't think that they're necessarily the same player, and I think that there's room for both of them on this roster.
My last point on that would be that, like, I know we like to debate this and stuff, and to actually get into an actual conversation about it, I just don't know if Callaway was productive because there was nobody else. The thing about Smith is the injuries, and that's the thing I always leave out, and I keep waiting for y'all to throw in my face and say,
never.
But at the end of the day, Smith, the thing that will keep my prediction from happening, I think the biggest thing that could keep my prediction from happening is that Smith will end up on the injured reserve or, you know, injured before camp's over, and he won't be there to take a spot.
Well, the last thing, because I hate arguing about receivers in these hypothetical, nonsensical arguments, is wasting my time and yours. The last thing I'll say, there is a chemistry with Winston and Callaway that we saw last year, their preseason and through those games that they were both healthy on the field at the same time. And a quarterback having chemistry with a receiver can sometimes be more important than a skill set on a wide receiver. So you can't just write a guy off because of a bunch of numbers on paper. Sometimes it matters how people play with each other.
Oh.
Okay. Now, my next question would have to be, why is it that Kevin White has been getting so many reps in practice?
Desperation. Hope. Gambling, rolling the dice. Why do so many people hit on 17 when they're playing blackjack? Because you're probably not going to win with 17. But maybe you get a 3 or a 4. Maybe you hit a 20-21, you know? You're not going to win with 17. The dealer's probably got a couple of face cards down there. But you want to try. And getting white reps, it's trying. It's just see if you can hit and get to 21. Because right now he's a 17, and you're not going to win with that.
Look, I was all for Kevin White. I was like, look, let's figure it out. Last year, after what I saw, man, I'm done. I mean, it's time to move on. It's training camp, so I guess they need the bodies. But I have zero confidence in that guy.
Yeah, like everything I'm reading about him is somebody was covering him. They took the ball from him.
Right. Like UDFA the middle, took dropped the ball it. From him.
Yes. But he went over the middle. He dropped the ball. You know, it's nothing but bad. Like, why is this guy getting repped? Sit him down, you know?
Well, okay, it's camp. It's New Orleans. It's hot. They need people to run routes, and he knows the offense now. He won't make it. I don't know if he makes it past the first cut. So that's just my take on it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that'll wrap it up for us here on the Beer Run, man.
Man, we've been talking for a long time. This is a long show.
Indeed, because we have actual lots of Saints stuff to news. Talk
about. Yeah. Actual Saints news. We had to take breaks for car trouble and drive through daiquiris. It's a busy day we got going on over here.
Yeah.
People falling asleep at the wheel, listening to offensive linemen talk.
Well, I'm glad that y'all spent your time with us, even if we sound like we're in a washing machine. Thank you for joining us this week. It's the Beer Run. You know how we do. It's a little silly. We try to have a good time with it. We're going to see you again next week. For the BS and Beer family, for the boss, David Marrero, for my co-host, Bill Dice, have a beer. It's on me.
Who that?
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com.
The Press Box 17, represent the N.O., because that's where we be. You know who it is, it's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13.